It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so that one's for real. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, so no going back now. All right, hello, and
welcome
to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world that is not a front for some terrorist organization.
Oh, wow. The rest of them are?
I said it, and I stand by it. Prove me wrong, Internet. Prove me wrong.
I wonder how has anyone ever... Well, I was going to say I wonder why no one's ever approached us, but they probably have, and you just didn't tell me.
Yeah, when the money wasn't good enough.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 105. This is the last episode of our second year.
Yes, this is the end of year two.
Yep,
I was just noticing that today, too. For those of you who decided to show up 2 years late, the basic deal here is we have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address you can write to, and it reads your emails to itself, presumably, because then it spits them out later, out of itself, on little cards that William and I draw at random out of the hat, and we read what you wrote, or sometimes an abbreviated version of what you wrote, if you write too damn much, and we discuss it until we're bored of it, and then we draw something else. We do that for about an hour. That's the show. And it's a little bit of a lie, because usually we talk a lot before we get to the hat, but the show, about an hour. There you go. I really need to come up with just a simple blurb I can say every time about that, but I haven't done it yet.
Are we going to do anything special for next? So next week is the first show of the third year. In a way, that's your anniversary, right? Because when you celebrate your anniversary, really on the first day of your next year, isn't that true when you think about it? Like your birthday, on your birthday.
Technically, because there's no zero thing.
Yeah.
Like the day you were born was not day zero. It's day one.
Day one, yeah.
So technically, your birthday comes around, it's day one of the next year. So that is true.
Yeah. So really... So
next time is celebrating our second anniversary.
Yeah.
What is two? One is paper, right? What's two?
I don't know. You always ask me these things. I have no idea.
Well, last year we didn't plan, and they ended up with chrome-plated pork chops and things.
Well, it was right, weird. But we also got a card last year.
We did get a card.
In fact,
it
was right near here not long ago, but yeah, I don't know where it is now.
Around here. I still have my suspicions about who gave the card, and if my suspicions are correct, they have not listened in ages, and so I don't think they will.
Oh, really? You had a theory.
I have a theory.
Ah.
So we'll see what happens.
They don't have to listen to remember.
Yeah, no, but these particular people I'm thinking of, I haven't discussed the podcast with them recently either.
Oh, I see.
And I haven't discussed, I talked a lot about how we were going to have our anniversary.
Oh, I see.
And I haven't done that this time, so I don't know. We'll have to see.
But it does mean since we're here that we have had successfully 2 years of uninterrupted podcasts.
Yes.
And it was close because you've been having some issues with your back. Yes.
And in 2 years we have received 7 ratings on iTunes.
Oh.
And
good.
I believe we're up to now 5 reviews. Sir Guido recently put in his 2 cents on it.
He did?
Yes.
How nice.
And 100% of our ratings are 5-star. And the 7th one was just done by me today, so. So that's what
I've been watching there. Sir Guido's Portly Paladin.
Oh, have thing. You?
Yeah.
Have you?
Very interesting. I just think what he's doing is really cool. And not just the part about, you know, he's trying to lose weight, but the whole thing about documenting it and trying to have something out there for other people who might be going through the same thing to see, and you know, so that they know they're not alone. You know, they're not the first people to do this, and some of their struggles are kind of common for people going through these things, and just in general, I admire anybody who decides they're going to do something that, for a variety of reasons, is going to be really difficult. You know, it doesn't even really matter what it is. It's just if someone's going to attempt something that most people would never attempt or are afraid to attempt, or most people would cave in to the people telling them they can't do it or criticizing them or whatever, but they do it anyway, I always really admire that. This is the kind of thing where when the kids were little, I might have put Sergito's videos up on the television and had them watch a couple and explained why this was such a good thing and such a thing to admire.
When the kids were little, you would have had to take out the giant video camera and videotape your screen and then put the VHS tape in the thing to show it on the TV.
No. There were lots of people like Peter Schiff was a financial advisor who saw the financial meltdown coming, you know, like 2 or 3 years before it happened, and he was on news shows and he would talk about it happening, like the housing bubble is going to burst, and the people would make fun of him. The other commentators on the show would tease him and make fun of him, but he never backed down. He never changed his story, and then of course everything he said would happen did happen. And I actually showed those videos to the kids, and I said, "See, this is the kind of person that, you know, we want you to be, someone who's going to look at the facts and going to tell the truth, and not going to matter if anyone makes fun of you. You're going to stick to your guns, and you know." And then, of course, when everything happens the way you expected it would, to handle that gracefully too. Because what interesting thing is, there were other videos I could show them where the same commentators who teased him later said nobody saw this coming. Acted like nobody even predicted it. And Peter Schiff wasn't the only one, by the way.
I'm just glad in the middle of that really, really long sentence, you finally tied that into what we were saying earlier. Before then, I thought you had a stroke or something and
were
just going off something that had nothing to do with what I had just said.
This is the kind of thing that I would show the kids to say, this, you know, this is someone to admire. This is someone, you know, to respect and, you know, to kind of model your own life after. And what Sergito's doing is falls right in there into that category for me, and I really respect and admire him for what he's doing.
Congratulations, Sergito. William's been telling his 17-year-old goddaughter to be like you.
Well, she's a little old for those little lectures and examples. But
she needs a hat, for starters. A snazzy fedora, I believe, is the hat I've seen him in most of the time.
But I mean, don't you agree? I mean, this is a
I haven't
really
looked at the videos, but sure, it sounds cool.
It's a very cool thing he's doing.
I don't do things.
Well, I know, but I have a lot of respect and admiration for him for doing this, and I just think it's great. Plus, on top of that, he's agreed to read the script and give some feedback on that. Hopefully, he'll give some of his insights on that.
We're getting a few outliers that are really into it and giving a lot of feedback, and then we're getting a few people that are dribbling in a couple of things here and there, and then people who are just have fallen off the planet.
Apparently. Well, you know, it's a long.
And unfortunately, most of the ones that have fallen off the planet aren't listeners, so we can't berate them on the air.
It's a 130 pages. I mean, it's long. It's a long script.
Yes, but some of these people are taking longer than I did, and that's shameful because I took a stupid long amount of time.
Well, the only thing that concerns me about it,
to be fair, I don't think we've quite hit the point where it's as long as I did, but we're getting close, so people should be ashamed.
The only thing that concerns me about all of that is that you know, you and I were talking about just how many people we'd probably need for this project.
Yeah,
and it's a considerable number.
I was surprised. I thought we would have overflow, but it's looking like we're still going to have to recruit some more.
Like, you know, I don't remember what the exact numbers were, but it was something like seven female voices and nine male voices or something like that, which means that's with a few of them doubling up.
Yeah.
Doing some other characters. So it's a pretty sizable cast.
To say nothing of the number of dancers we need for the chorus numbers. Oh, but speaking of radio drama, the producer just discovered today BBC Radio 4 is doing a new radio drama of Neil Gaiman's Neverwhere.
Oh.
Starring James McAvoy, I'm assuming in the main character role, and starring Benedict Cumberbatch as the Angel Islington.
Oh.
Their little teaser out there is a bit of him singing as the angel, and it was impressive.
Oh, good.
It looks very cool, so I'm looking forward to that.
So how's your weeks
2 weeks
been, really, you know, other than the being injured?
That's all my 2 weeks have been. So last week I got sick on Sunday. Was sick Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Wow.
Yes. Wednesday, went back to work feeling much better.
Oh.
Improved a lot Tuesday afternoon, so I was feeling much better. I went to Wednesday. Thursday morning, I'm at the gym on the leg press, pressing 350 pounds. And on my third rep, something in my lower back went... And it was bad. And I, being an idiot, got off that machine and went on to the next machine.
Oh.
And partway through that set was like, maybe I should stop doing this. So I go to work for like a half hour and then have to come home. And basically I'm stuck in bed. I can't even sit on the couch. Like, I can't sit up for 2 days straight. So finally on Friday night, we went to the ER, which was a hell of an experience and took about 4 hours.
Yeah.
But they finally gave me drugs. Heavy duty, both painkillers and muscle relaxers to take at the same time.
Wow.
So I've been taking those, and yet all this week I still have been out, because I just can't sit up. I can't even sit in a chair or anything.
Except today.
Well, no, over the week it slowly got to the point where in the later afternoon I could sit in the chair and it hurt, but if I waited long enough, my muscles eventually sort of calmed down.
Okay.
And then I was kind of okay. And the time period where that happened kept getting earlier and earlier and earlier. And today I really pushed it because I was really have been going crazy between all the drugs and being trapped in the house and being trapped in the bed for almost 2 weeks, essentially. I was going crazy. So I really pushed it. And by 9:30 this morning, I was sitting on the couch. So at lunchtime, Trish came and got me and I went back.
Oh, just in the afternoon.
Yes, yes. And hopefully I didn't overdo it. And tomorrow I'll be able to go for the full day. We shall see. I need to start moving around again, or else at this point, lying in the bed is hurting me because muscle weakness,
yeah.
Things like that. But there's a line between that being better and me overdoing it. And it's a very fine line and I don't know where it is. This afternoon really wore me out. But I was so glad to be out of here. I've been going nuts with all the, I swear I've been having some hallucinations, both auditory and visual. Being on all those drugs. But, yeah, so that's what I've been doing, which means I've been watching a lot of stuff on Netflix and YouTube.
Well, that's, yeah, I figure maybe you had a lot to talk about.
I watched the entire 3 seasons of The Legend of Neil.
Oh, yeah, I'm not such a fan of that.
It really had its highs and lows for me. I mean, I was drugged up, so I watched the whole thing, but the stupid bits were really stupid. The funny bits I found really funny. There were certain characters and character interactions that I just died. Mm. And, yeah, lots of weird stuff. I got on a stand-up comedy kick for a while on Netflix, so I was looking up a bunch of stuff there. When I could sit on the couch, because, of course, I had all of my portable electronics plugged in the bedroom, and then, because I was laying on the bed watching on my computer. So when I would get to the couch, none of it would be there, so it was either watch TV or play Xbox. So I played a lot of Fallout New Vegas.
Oh.
While I was back there. I have now been banned from all the casinos in the main storyline.
Oh, that's an achievement.
Yes, it was. I think there's a casino in one of the DLCs that I may mess with. Oh. But I've been banned from all the regular ones. I'm really close to the end. I'm at the point now where I have to pick a side, and I'm being very weird about that.
Oh.
Because I don't like for people to not like me unless they're assholes. And pretty much, there's definite bad guys, but there's nobody that's full-on good guys.
Yeah.
And you're going to piss off some of the kind of good guys if you side with the other kind of good guys either way. And I don't like that. I would prefer that they all like me. And because it's all sort of kind of good, I'm trying to think in role-playing terms, like, what kind of character have I been playing?
Sure.
Therefore, what side would she pick? Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of coming up to an answer, but it still gets weird. And especially because there's only so many final outcomes, and there's lots of other sort of little factions that get caught up in it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, if I pick this person, because I've looked ahead at this point, because it's not that interesting. I'm like, I end up screwing over these little guys. But if I pick these ones, I screw over these little guys, and I don't really want to screw over either of them. If I was playing bad, which is what I'll do if I ever play this game again, would not be an issue. Would not be an issue at all. But right now, I'm having a little trouble. So I'm sort of, I'm waiting. Like, I'm going around and doing all sorts of side things.
Well, how do you like the game?
I enjoy it quite a bit.
Yeah.
I probably have put 80, 85 hours into it by now.
Now, when you play,
and I haven't even touched the DLC yet.
Do you play it with your character visible then?
Most of the time,
yeah.
With the Fallout games and with Oblivion, Elder Scrolls Oblivion, I play third person because I have to. But with all three of those games, sometimes you have to switch to first person, like to pick up something because you can't really focus on it, you know. Or to see something clearly, like there are times where you have to read something and you actually have to read it in the image. It's not like you click on it and it tells you what it says.
Right.
And so I have to get in the first person. Over time, I get to where I forget I'm in first person and I leave it for longer and longer and it doesn't bother me very much.
Mm-hmm.
So now, like once by the time I've been playing these games for a while, when I'm near the end, I get to where maybe a third to a half of the time I'm in first person. And it doesn't work for all games. These games are particularly nice for not making me motion sick. They don't have a lot of head bob and that kind of thing. I'm a little worried about Skyrim when I finally get to it.
Why?
Because a friend of mine, who may or may not be listening, hi, Kristen. I can say Kristen, I suppose. At first I was like, maybe I shouldn't say the name. I'm like, no, you're going to know. Hi, Kristen, if you're listening. Woot! She can't play Skyrim even in third person. It makes her motion sick. And she did fine with Oblivion. She has some theories that it may be other issues she's having as she's getting older. So hopefully, and I feel like I'm going the other way, where I've been playing enough things like this that it's becoming less of an issue. But I am nervous that I won't be able to play Skyrim. But we shall see.
Well, I hope you can, because I think you'll like it.
I also watched Will Wheaton's tabletop episodes, the two tabletop episodes he did where they played Dragon Age, the role-playing
game.
Yeah,
I watched those too.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
And very interesting guests.
Yeah,
on
what's the actor's name that was sitting at the end? And
Sam, I think. He's the one who, he had a small role on Battlestar Galactica, and he's the vampire on Being Human.
Yeah, vampire on Being Human, yeah. but small role in Battlestar Galactica?
Yes.
That I don't
the
remember.
Only notable thing he did is a huge spoiler, so I can't tell you.
Oh.
But he was out of the show by, like, second season or something.
Oh, that's right. You're right. He was.
Yeah, yeah. I never forget those cheekbones because they look so plastic and fake. It's kind of terrifying.
I remembered he was in Smallville.
Never saw Smallville.
He was in a season of Smallville, but I'd forgotten he was in...
And he's in Being Human right now. And I gathered from the way they put it, he's a role-playing gamer.
Well, yes.
Because he made that one comment about how he's used to running all the time and not being a player.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
well,
dude.
Honestly, I've never been thrilled with his acting or any of his roles. But when he was talking about role-playing and just watching him play, I suddenly respected him. I don't know why that is. I mean, I didn't not respect him before. I was like, oh, he's an actor. He's like a B-list actor. He was in things, and I don't really care for his acting. But he's obviously a really cool person, you know?
Yeah, yeah, he seems
very creative and cool person.
And they all have their own approaches to the role-playing, which was funny. But I absolutely love when, near the end of the adventure, they talked about how they might accidentally be sucked into the Fade, which in Dragon Age is the spirit world, if they go into this tower and do all this stuff. And Will Wheaton's character is like, well, if it is our destiny to be banished to the Fade, so be it. And Chris Hardwick turns around and says, go fuck yourself. And Sam goes, yeah, seriously, Jesus Christ, I don't want to end up with a fate. And the little quiet extra guy who's the little elf road looks at him and says, seriously, fuck you.
Now, Hardwick, someone made a comment that I thought was kind of interesting on YouTube. And I wasn't surprised someone made this comment. Because he modeled his character after
Fonzor.
And there were a couple of people who commented that they didn't think that was cool or bad form.
It is a player archetype. There is a person who is like that and they commented on that in the thing. Like, there is a type of person who does that, who wants to make it funnier and lighthearted and that kind of thing. So yeah, so they'll come up with like a fantasy wizard patterned after Fonzie from Happy Days. They will do that kind of thing. And that being said, in general, it did not detract from
the
actual
thing. But people
were
saying...
No worse than the guy with the smelling focus.
No, I suppose that's true, but And you know, I'm not a role player, so it didn't bother me, but I could imagine how it might seem to the person running the game, like, you know, it is just a game, but you want your players to take it somewhat seriously, or what's the point?
For those who haven't seen this video, their GM for it is the guy who designed the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
yeah. But he also is an author. He's the one who made the comment about how, like, there's always somebody like Chris in the group. And I mean, they all had Sam's warrior character had the warrior mullet. He had the fantasy mullet.
That's
had a
true.
Backstory to explain
that's
it.
True.
How he had long hair, but it got in the way of his fighting, so he cut it short in the front, but he left it long in the back. And at a certain point, they're like, wait, are you saying you have a mullet? He's like, he doesn't know that's what it's called, but yes, he has a mullet.
No, but yeah, that guy's obviously a cool guy.
Yeah.
I've never liked any... I mean, it's not probably not even his fault. In Smallville, the character he played was really poorly written. And
he was perfectly serviceable in
no,
what
that's
I saw
true.
Of him Being Human.
Well, I haven't seen
anything,
Being Human.
And actually, I thought he did pretty well in Battlestar
well,
Galactica.
Well, that's what but I that's
we
what
don't
I was
see him in something that requires a lot
yeah,
of effort.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is I saw in Battlestar Galactica, I barely remembered he was in it, which... I don't think speaks well for his performance, but he wasn't bad or anything.
No.
It was horrible.
He got to really do some impressive acting for approximately 2 minutes of the series.
Yeah.
But I always give him a hard time because I was a fan of the British Being Human, and one of the things in particular, I very much preferred their vampire character to the US's vampire character. Now I went on to hate the British Being Human, so who knows?
Yeah, the British Being Human.
It's finally done, by the way.
It is?
Yes. They're not. They did not renew it this time.
Oh. Did they have another season, though, with
all the new people?
Yeah.
I think the new people only got one. I don't know. The start of the season where we brought in the new people was when I stopped.
Oh.
And I just recently saw something saying that it wasn't going to be continued.
But you don't know if they got their one season at all?
I don't. Well, no. They got that one. That was the fourth season they got.
Oh, okay.
And that was the whole season. That the season started with them, you know, removing characters and putting in the exact same characters.
Yeah.
That was the fourth season.
Okay.
I don't know if they got a fifth.
Well, I think there was a season I didn't see, but I remember when we were watching it to begin with, because you told me about it some time
yeah.
ago, and it just wasn't working.
It.
I mean,
it the
was,
first series worked. After then. It's like they were trying to draw out something.
Well,
it was like Power Rangers or something. It was like every season we have to top what we did before or it won't be interesting.
Right, but it was,
and it got really stupid.
I'm not sure if even the first series worked because when you told me about it and ostensibly it was about how these people, you know, try to live a normal human life in spite of the fact that they're actually not human.
It was the Gene Roddenberry thing. It was examining the human condition outside of actual
and yet
humans.
It didn't seem to do that very much. For one thing, for the werewolf character, it was only an issue one night out of every month.
And yet he was the one who was most plagued with issues about it.
Which didn't make any sense. And the vampire guy, yeah, he had a regular job, but he was so much dealing with organized vampire stuff all the time that he wasn't really fitting in or showing.
Well, some of that's their mythology, which I didn't like. I don't know. I was rather fond of the first series.
Yeah, it didn't
I felt that the first series, but here's what I always said about that show. That show had great concepts. It had terrible details, which unfortunately generally meant every episode of a series I hated. And then when the series was done, I was like, that series was pretty good overall.
That's a little like Warehouse 13 in a way, because a lot of great ideas and a lot of good design in the show.
Yeah.
But hardly any good plots.
When you're looking at the season finale and you think about where you started on that show, you're like, oh, we've come a long way. But in between, you're not happy. But that gets even more granular because interesting seasons, shitty episodes, really good scenes.
Yeah, yeah, right, right, right. Character interactions.
Exactly.
And
like, specific conversations in an episode are awesome.
Yeah.
The episode overall kind of sucks.
Yeah.
The season overall tends to be interesting again.
We've talked about this before, but I still can't wrap my brain around how that happens.
I think it's different aspects of writing.
They just have a team that's good at this thing, but they're not good at the other thing?
Apparently. Or they have somebody who's editing in whatever capacity, who is really good at emphasizing a certain thing, or is really good at squashing something because they are blind to that.
Right, right.
Because, I mean, those things are all done by committee.
Right, right, right.
When it's a TV show. But I do want to say, recently have officially given up on The Middle, the sitcom I was watching.
Never watched
it. It was good. It's just getting old. And we got to where we really dreaded watching it. And so I was like, I'm done.
Well, let's yes. stop.
Gave up on The Following.
Never watched that either.
But you know, I talked a big game about that.
Yeah, you...
And everything I said was true. It had some heavy-duty misogyny in it, and it eventually became too much for me. Everything else about it was overshadowed by... The whole thing was... I mean, it's very much horror. It's not suspense. It's not thriller. It's horror. And all the victims were women. All the real powerful protagonists and antagonists were generally men. There was one exception. And it was a lot of horrific stuff. And all the victims were always... There were a couple of times when men got killed. They were in scenes that were extremely quick. And like one guy got lit on fire in the street. And it was 30-second scenes.
Jeez.
The women were always getting kidnapped and tied up for weeks and tortured and terrible things. And eventually it got too much. We had a flashback of one of the female lead good guys to her terrible growing up in this cult where she was abused. And I said, no, you know, I'm done. It hit my limit on misogyny, which admittedly is not a really high limit. But the fact that I went through as many episodes as I did, I'm a little surprised now. Sort of in looking back, I'm like, wow, I was really turning a blind eye to a lot of stuff here. And again, I say this not against the quality of the show necessarily, because for the story they're trying to tell, I don't think they're being particularly inaccurate for the story they are trying to tell. It is not TV I want to watch.
Yeah.
So I'm done with that. Actually, we're in a weird lull right now. Our DVR is fairly empty. A lot of things are like on hiatus and stuff. It's very weird. And things like 30 Rock have finally finished and all that. But what we're still watching, Oh, and we gave up on Arrow. It just wasn't worth the time anymore. The Stupid was hilarious.
Yeah. Well,
but it just wasn't worth the hour a week anymore.
I haven't even started on that.
Don't bother. Watch it one time because it's hilarious. It's so ridiculous. It way more than Once Upon a Time ever was. It's just amazing. But eventually it was like, you know, I got too much to do in my life. But the thing that is still going on that we're sticking with and that I'm surprised about is Elementary. I'm really actually enjoying it. And I don't really understand why, but I'm into it. I'm liking it. It's not as good as Sherlock, although Sherlock has a lot of faults.
Yeah, it does.
And a lot of them are not ones that Elementary has. Oh. But Elementary has a lot of other faults.
Yeah.
But they finally sort of got... Well, they got their chemistry down, which was a huge thing.
Yeah.
And they sort of have gotten to where they figured out what the hell they're trying to do with the show. And I don't know. I'm actually enjoying it a fair bit. And, I mean, I have. It's not like I've been waiting all this time. But, you know, I mean, it wasn't until about episode 4 that I suddenly realized it didn't suck.
Mm.
And now we've gone through, like, episode 17, and I'm still really kind of...
Is it doing
digging it.
Well in general? Getting fairly good ratings?
I don't know. I believe it got renewed.
Oh, okay.
So, presumably. Still watching Castle.
Yeah, we didn't watch this last season at all.
Of course not, because this is the They Get Together season. Which means it should end after that. It's not going to, because I think it's still very popular. But it's rough. It's rough.
Yeah, it's been rough for a long time. We used to watch Bones. We didn't even watch whatever recent series season of Bones.
Okay, you're getting too quiet again. Keep on the mic or talk about it.
Sorry.
Well, Bones is in like its ninth season.
Yeah, I'm not even sure why we kept watching it. After a while, things get to be kind of like a habit or something.
Well, no. After you've watched a show long enough, you're invested in the characters.
I guess.
I've had that in a lot of... Actually, I kind of have that in Castle. I don't like the show, but I care about those people now. In my mind?
It's just, I don't know, after a while the stories get so bad or so,
That's why I'm hesitant to ever pick up Supernatural.
We didn't even watch the last season of Fringe.
Me neither.
Didn't even watch it.
And you know why? Didn't watch the fourth season, because we waited for a long time, and it's the same thing. We didn't do it.
Yeah, you mentioned this on the podcast.
So there were 22 episodes on the DVR,
decided just to delete
and I looked at it and was like, oh my God, I don't want to do that. And I was like, that's a sign.
Yep.
And later, coincidentally, like the day after the finale of the series was,
yeah.
I didn't realize this, but by sheer coincidence, I went to Wikipedia to look up what it had been about. So glad we stopped.
Yeah.
It got way stupid.
Yeah. It
got super time travel-y and oh my God. We had children and then we traveled through time and the children were grown-ups now and it got like Earth Final Conflict stupid.
Well, as I was telling you, for some reason we started watching Alias on Netflix in yes. the house and we watched the whole thing and that just it was full of insights on in terms of J.J. Abrams and what he, I mean,
yep.
I
a lot of lens flare was there?
Well, no, I and as I said to you before, I can't believe anybody who watched all of Alias when they watched Lost didn't think, yeah, we've seen all this before. Or when they watched Fringe say the same thing. Because, like, this is J.J. Abrams. He's just doing the same thing over and over again in just a little bit different flavor.
Sweetie, people
boring.
Don't figure this out. Have you ever watched... You have. You've watched Castle. If you've ever watched a homicide procedural show, there have been approximately 8,423 of them in America and Canada in the last 20 years. They're all the same damn show.
Yeah.
Matlock, Murder, She Wrote, all the way up to Castle and fucking... Law and Order, people yeah, who rape people, whatever the hell that one is.
But some of them are pretty good. I mean,
ultimately, they all look the same. No, but my point is, people will watch them over and over again, and at least consciously, not be realizing they're watching essentially the same show.
I see what you're
and
saying.
I do it myself. Hmm. I have watched probably a couple thousand of those 8,000 over the years. I wasn't diehard on a lot of them, but I was a big Murder, She Wrote fan when I was a kid. I've watched a fair bit of Matlock. I'm watching Castle right now. And, I mean, it's the same plot. Nobody comes up with a new plot. Except when, like, technology advances. Like, Murder, She Wrote didn't have a lot of cell phone plots involved.
No.
But, and there's some... I've watched a lot of Law and Order. So, you know, on a certain level, I think there's a weird comforting aspect to that. I don't know.
Maybe. Well, anyway...
And back in the day, we also had the other version of that, which was the action private investigator shows.
Yeah.
Knight Rider, Magnum P.I., Fall Guy. We watched all those. They were all pretty much the same show. And some of the cars were black and talked, and some they were red and they didn't talk.
Rockford Files.
Oh, I missed that show.
It's on Netflix.
Somebody was talking about rebooting that, and they were like, how would that work? Because the Rockford Files... was James Garner, essentially.
Pretty much.
If you reboot that show, unless you have a really old James Garner, like, it's just, like, there's no reason to call it Rockford Files.
I don't know if anyone else, I don't know if this is just something my family has done or if everybody does this, but now my family when calls the maneuver when you put your car in reverse and drive it in reverse and then you do something in the steering wheel and the brake to flip it around,
yep.
That's a Rockford. That's what they call it. Did a Rockford.
I'm sorry, William.
Never heard that one before.
I can appreciate that, but I know that move, and that move is a Crazy Ivan.
Oh, Crazy Ivan.
That move is absolutely a Crazy Ivan. Listeners out there will back me up on this. I can think of one in particular. That's a Crazy Ivan.
From what?
From Firefly.
What?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Crazy Ivan.
No.
Absolutely.
But it had to be called something else before Firefly came
along. I'm sure it was called a Rockford. It is no longer.
I don't know if anyone else called it that. My family calls it a Rockford.
Crazy Ivan.
They still call it a Rockford.
Now, ideally, you'd do a Crazy Ivan in some sort of aircraft or spacecraft, but
yeah, whatever.
Most of us can just do it in a car. But no, back me up, listeners, and say whatever the hell else you want to say on our blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Go there, comment, talk with wonderful people like William, the producer, Mark, Blood Sparrow, Beth sometimes, Sir Guido every once in a while.
Haven't heard from Azure Talon for a while.
Azure Talon. Oh, I've been so long. Oh, this is a couple things I got to say. One, and I'm sure everybody who listens to the show knows it by now, Azure Talon's in remission.
Good.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Now, see, I didn't know that.
I don't know the state of his hair. I don't know if he was at GammaCon, because here's the shitty thing about my back.
You didn't get to go to
GammaCon. I missed all of GammaCon, which I already paid for and registered for, and I missed Derby.
Now,
first home derby of the year.
Azure Talon was there, was going to
be
there?
I don't know. A bunch of the C team were there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he actually made it. I would hope so, though.
Well, congratulations, Azure Talon.
But yeah, he's in remission.
We're very glad to find that out.
I keep forgetting to say, the producer got promoted.
Yeah, that's right.
The producer is now a boss. She's officially management where we work. So that's awesome.
So now the household's going to become Republican.
Yes. Yeah.
Anti-union.
It was a nice little pay increase that she got. And I now still don't know what the capital gains tax is, but I kind of have an opinion about it. And apparently my former boss has now listened to the podcast.
Oh.
So, yeah, she's really going crazy now that we don't have that employee-employer thing. She's Facebook-friended me. She says fuck a lot more. Now, a lot more. That is not to imply that she didn't say it sometimes before, but she says it more, a lot more now. And she listens to the podcast. It's very freaky.
Well, I'm glad
but
she's listening.
Welcome. I don't know that she'll listen to more than one.
Oh.
I don't think she's podcast people either. You know, you have to be podcast people.
I guess.
Because it's, if you're not used to it, it's an effort.
Yeah, right.
So I can get, it's not hard to get people to listen to one episode. It's hard to get them to listen repeatedly, like all of our wonderful hard hats out there. But yeah, so go to the blog, comment, write the hat. We always love when you do that. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Once again, that is TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. I almost don't need to say this anymore, though, because the outro has it in it, because Sergito put that in there.
Yeah.
Go write some stuff. Don't make it too long. Think of it like Twitter, you know, 144 characters, including spaces, that kind of thing. Because the hat doesn't like to write a whole lot onto a card. The hat has a lazy streak. And so you might find yourself abridged.
Well, not just that, but the cards are small.
Yes, the cards are half of a 3x5.
The hat has to do something about that.
3x2.5.
Yeah, it's just not going to... It doesn't just magically print whatever you wrote, because if it doesn't fit, it's got to do something about it.
Exactly. Change the font, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right. So, with that note...
We always talk a long time when we haven't seen each other for a while.
We do, which is a problem.
Yeah.
Because it's been coming up a lot more lately.
Sorry, folks. We know you listen.
Here's the hat.
For drawing things out of the hat.
Also... Yeah, I know we said a few episodes ago when we got the new sound equipment to let us know. If anything changes or you have any further opinion on the sound stuff, please let us know. The last we heard from people is, yes, there's a little bit of a background hiss. It's not super bad, but it is noticeable. And it wasn't there with the snowball. If that's changed, if it's gotten worse, if it's gone away, if you have any suggestions how we can fix it, please let us know, because we don't know what the hell we're doing.
Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If KFC stands for Kentucky Fried Chicken, why did they play Sweet Home Alabama on the commercials? From Azure Talon.
There isn't really a... Well, okay, first of all, this always cracks me up, because I this was one of the great urban legends. Do you remember this?
When they changed from
Kentucky Fried Chicken to KFC?
Because
they weren't serving chicken anymore.
Yeah, the story was they weren't technically serving chicken anymore.
So they weren't allowed to.
Yeah.
And the first time I heard it, I thought it was extremely implausible that it was true. As time went on and I thought about it more, I'm kind of annoyed at myself that I only mostly thought it probably wasn't true. There are so many levels to that, like... Why it wouldn't be true either way. Like, why they wouldn't not serve chicken, but also why they wouldn't have to change the name even if it wasn't chicken.
It was supposed to be some government regulation or something.
Yeah.
Like false advertising or something.
But, like how the post office is going to charge us a nickel for every email we send if the latest Senate bill, 802.4, goes through.
But here's the thing, though. My understanding of how this works is that the name KFC... is derived from the previous name, Kentucky Fried Chicken, but it technically doesn't stand for that anymore. The name simply is KFC.
Like, this is like fucking MTV.
Or sci-fi.
MTV,
I mean,
do. Well,
putting Wise in there and suddenly...
Sci-fi?
Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous.
They only started doing that like 5 years after they became the home for WWE wrestling.
But you see what I'm saying? I mean, yes. it doesn't... It's, no, it's but absurd, it but it's still a different name, and that's what they're... That's their story, they're sticking to it.
Fascinating, because like MTV did this fairly recently, where they stopped... They used to be MTV Music Television.
Music Television.
And they officially changed themselves to MTV... Like, as a branding thing. I understand what that means. Someone explain to me why you do it. What is the rationale for change? I understand the explanation of what the difference is, but why, as a company, do you decide you're going to do that?
Well, because... and this is different than the KFC thing, by the way. Like, the reason Sci-Fi did it, as far as I know, is because they thought that Sci-Fi, the way it was, implied science fiction programming almost exclusively, and they didn't want to do science fiction programming exclusively.
And but there's nothing that says you have to just because that's what you're called. But in Sci-Fi's
case... That's not the point. The philosophy of branding out in the business world, the philosophy of branding is you've got to have some consistency between your logo and your name, you know, which is the thing out there that you want people to recognize, and the product that you're selling. You're right. Logically, if Sci-Fi Channel could have had any kind of program they wanted.
But with Sci-Fi Channel, it makes sense to me because there are people out there who are like, oh, yeah, that's just science fiction. I'm not interested in science fiction. I'm not even going to look at that channel. And they wanted those people to know there might be some shit for you here. In MTV's case... The whole world knows they don't do music videos anymore. Right, the whole world bitches about it.
No, right.
You don't, with the Sci-Fi change, as stupid as it is, I can see an argument wherein you gain more market share. I don't see that with KFC or MTV.
Okay, well, with MTV, it was more of a, it probably wasn't a market share thing, but it was more of a, just what you said, they don't have music videos anymore very much, or didn't they have MTV2, where they had the music videos, and
then
they had...
that became nothing. That used to be the commercials for MTV2 talked about how, remember how MTV used to have music videos? It was here. Now MTV2 doesn't
have
them either.
My point being, everyone complained about that. Okay, well, let's tell everybody that MTV doesn't stand for music television anymore. That'll fix it.
All you did was point it out and piss everyone off.
I get that, but this is how the business world thinks about branding.
And there was an incredibly poignant episode of Portlandia that dealt with this exact issue.
Okay, but not only that, but there, even though the philosophies of and the applications of the whole branding thing that's really big in corporate America now and has been for probably a couple decades might seem really ridiculous and stupid. The fact is, it works. The fact of the matter is, yeah, everyone's saying that and everything you're saying is true, but 5 years from now, a lot of people won't even remember any of this happened, and MTV will be a brand that they recognize, and
it
will succeed.
If it's still MTV Music Television, that would remind them. So they are marketing for the future generations.
Well,
for the kids who are so young, they don't remember when MTV.
Not just that, but for the modern people whose attention span's not very long. Come on, let's face it.
I listened to a episode of Nerdist podcast a couple weeks ago, and it was one of the live ones in front of an audience. And frequently when they're out in the audience doing stuff, they find somebody who seems really young. And Chris will say, I'm going to bum everybody out. Tell us what year you were born in. And he did recently, there was somebody there, and it was a listener, and his daughter, who also listens, who's 13. And so he doesn't say it, but then Joan in the background says, I'm going to bum everybody out. Tell us what year you were born in. Chris is like, no, everybody's going to get so depressed. Like, so she says 1999. And he's like, oh my God, Kurt Cobain's been dead your whole life. And Matt Maher is like, I joined the Dave Matthews Band fan club before you were born. That shit freaks me out. My niece, who is in junior high, was 6 months old when 9/11 happened. So there literally are there adults that weren't around when MTV had videos? There's at least teenagers.
I suppose. I don't know when it stopped. I never watched it. But But yeah, a lot of the, you know, corporations, companies today, the way they run and the way they can run because of how the way our culture has become is they can decide their public image is whatever they want it to be. And even if it's weird or contradictory or illogical, all the stuff you're saying, they know that with the proper PR campaign, whatever image they want to project to people, they will believe within a year or two, even adults, because people just forget. No one's going to remember 5 years from now that, oh, this company used to be this, but now it's this, because we've seen it over and over again in ads on television and on the internet. This is how companies think. They basically think of people as sheep, and unfortunately, that way of thinking has paid off for most people. Now, as far as the whole KFC thing, I didn't even realize that this was something, you know, I saw KFC on all the restaurants and everything, but I didn't realize that this they'd actually changed their name.
It took me a while to KFC. Figure that out, too.
I forget, somewhere I read why they did it. Someone acquired them, and it had to do with they couldn't use the name, or they wanted to market it a different way. It wasn't about they wanted to sell other things besides chicken,
no,
even though that was...
The issue was probably Kentucky and Fried. Because there are certain things that certain focus groups are not going to be happy with either of those things.
Okay, well...
For certain people, Kentucky has a Deep South connotation, even though it's not. But there, in certain demographics, people hear Kentucky and they're going to think kind of backwoods yokely kind of thing. And Fried, of course, everybody's much more health conscious. And also, they tried for a while to do their grilled chicken and stuff, which may or may not still exist.
Right. So anyway, they wanted people to think about the company in a different way. And, you know, whether or not that worked, I don't know. As far as why they play Sweet Home Alabama in their commercials.
Never even occurred to me, but that's insane.
I don't understand that.
Hilarious.
As far as it being contradictory in terms of it being Kentucky Fried Chicken, well, again, remember, they're not Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore. They're KFC. So
that's why.
So that's kind of a non-issue.
Years ago, so that eventually, when people forgot, they could play Sweet Home Alabama.
Well, but what defies explanation is, okay, so they're not Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore, so they can play Sweet Home Alabama, but then why? As you just pointed out, maybe part of the reason they changed to KFC was because they wanted that to disassociate themselves from, you know, the South.
But this is reassociating.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, I feel like things have changed where when it comes to food, association with the South has become a popular thing lately. Mm. Concepts of comfort food, soul food, things like biscuits and gravy. There used to be only very certain parts of the country where you could do biscuits and gravy.
Well,
they are showing up all over
and
now.
Real barbecue.
Yes,
which
grits.
Is always from the South.
Yeah, these are becoming a thing right now because of people like Guy Fieri. So it may be a reassociation thing.
I see.
I don't know. But the point, Azure Talon, by the way, congratulations. Also, fuck you. I hate that guy. the point is, it is a terrible web of marketing. And that Sweet Home Alabama in our head is doing something that's eventually going to make William eat chicken.
No.
That's what I'm hoping for.
You know, I'm not exposed to a lot of advertising, kind of by design.
That you
actually
know of.
Well, I'm exposed to, here's the thing.
A micro transmitter in your bedroom.
I avoid.
When you sleep.
I avoid all kinds of media sources that other people are constantly bombarding themselves with. And yet I am bombarded with advertisement. A lot also. I mean, it's just everywhere. And, you know, that's the world we live in. And that's, you know, I don't know. I'm not exactly advocating that the government should do something about it or anything like that. But it's probably not good for us. But
whereas I have the fever for the flavor of Pringles. Pretty much all the time. All right, let's do another question. Because we've been doing just one question lately, and that's not good. That will anger the hats.
Really, are they complaining?
I don't know.
Oh. Because we kind of have been through this before where we talked about talking and talking less, and then we got feedback saying, no, it's okay, you can talk ahead of time.
This one is... who is that from? That was from Edge and Helen. This one is from Blood Sparrow.
Oh.
Hard hat number 2. What is your favorite song to eat by?
I I don't have
it. I can say without reservation, I have literally never placed any food in my mouth while I was listening to music.
Well, sure you have.
No, never.
There's music playing in restaurants all the time.
I would not eat. I would wait till the pauses between the songs to take the bite. Or I would ask them to turn it off.
No, come on.
Never. Never done it. I have drunk beverages during music. I have chewed gum during music. I have taken recreational drugs during music through various inputs. Never put food in my mouth.
I don't have an answer to that question. I don't, it's just never occurred to me that, oh, I'm going to eat now, so let me turn on some music while I eat. I don't even...
Try to think back to great foods you have had and what music might have been playing.
I'm really not the type of person to remember great foods I have had.
I feel like...
I don't think about food like that.
Probably a fair bit of Sinatra, unfortunately. Not a particular fan of Sinatra, but a lot of Italian restaurants play it constantly.
I suppose.
I don't know if there's a song that, like, makes me hungry, per se. Sweet Home Alabama kind of makes me want fried chicken.
Shut up.
Come on. Like, I'm not going to take that. Sitting in my lap there. How can I not take that? Sorry. It makes me want FC.
Yeah.
I have a serious craving for some FC.
Yeah.
From whatever state. That's a really terrible question, Blood Sparrow.
Well, I'm really curious to know what inspired it, really. Blood Sparrow, is there a certain piece of music you like to listen to while you eat?
I like marches during soup. I prefer speed metal for my desserts. Flamenco during the salad course, usually. During some cheese courses. Some cheese courses flamenco, some cheese courses polka. I have really bad taste in eating.
Anything on bagpipes as long as it's live. Otherwise, forget about it.
Like Mark's wedding. I don't remember what I ate there. We just have to work backwards. Really good food. But this is the thing for me. Background music in businesses, which is most common in eateries.
Yeah.
I have very strong preferences in that front. There are certain places, there's a certain style. Basically, if you can give me music that I don't know that I enjoy, that's my favorite. That's probably my favorite kind of music to eat by. Poncheros. We have Poncheros in town. For those who don't live around here, it's very similar to Chipotle, except it's not owned by a McDonald's. But it's kind of the Mexican equivalent to Subway. Make your own burritos and tacos and stuff. We go there. The producer really likes Poncheros. I can take it or leave it, and I really don't like the atmosphere for some reason. But they have the most wonderful music selections. I never know what the hell I'm listening to, and it's all very weird and eclectic, and stuff that I really like in some cases. I need to get, like, that Shazam app or something, because there's stuff that I really want to listen to again there. But, I don't know, stuff that you sing along with or whatever seems terrible for a meal. Because you're either eating or you're having meal discussion, and that's a terrible time for that. Drinking is a good time to have old standby music. That y'all just drunkenly sing along with. Instrumental is good, I think. I don't know.
Usually when I'm eating, I'm anxious to be done eating. So I'm not thinking about what
you're
kind of...
You're weird.
I know, it's...
You're very weird.
I mean, I've even had gourmet meals that I appreciated for their gourmetness, but,
It's called... Gourmetity.
Whatever.
Gourmetiosity.
I like getting together with people.
Gourmageddon.
To talk. And, of course, when you do that, usually it's over a meal. But for me, it's like, this meal's getting in the way of talking.
I've had talking get in the way of my meal, though.
Well, that's usually what happens, yeah.
you know my love of sushi.
Mm-hmm.
I need to shut up when I'm eating sushi. The other person doesn't even have to shut up. But you know me, I can talk. Y'all know me, I can talk. I have a podcast where I talk. Talk a lot. And so it's a problem if I get together with people I haven't seen for a while, like at sushi, and we're just talking. I don't think about what I'm eating. And with sushi, I very much want to savor each bite.
I see.
And so frequently, I'm trying to get into the habit of where we talk. When the food shows up, I have to be like, okay, I'm not going to talk much now. Because I will waste it. I hate to waste sushi. Because I love sushi. And I don't get it as much as I would like. So there's some nice music in the background. Might be helpful.
I do like when I go to an ethnic restaurant and they're playing ethnic music. That's kind of nice.
It's always a question for me, though. In a lot of ethnicities of said restaurants, I'm like, is this really?
Well, I know.
They say this is Argentinian food, and it sounds like Peruvian flute band, so it's close, but is it really? And especially if you get into, like, South and East Asia,
mm-hmm.
you're like, did they just buy something at Walmart in the world music section? Like, I often wonder that kind of thing. And seriously, I would love to hear some great, you know, arias and operettas in an Italian restaurant. Something in Italian.
Mm.
They always do Sinatra.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't tell you that. At the place where I get my massage therapy, the guy who runs it has a Sinatra kick. And so usually, well, not usually, half the time you go in there and they've got like a satellite radio thing or whatever, and they're on this station that's all very, you know, calm synthesizers to the sound of rushing rivers and very light, tinkly things, and very zen. You could meditate to it. Or it's Sinatra. Half the time it's Sinatra. Really weird.
Well, at Blood Sparrow, if you have a favorite song to eat by, please let us know.
Anything? I feel like if you're going to have certain types of food, I feel like
wine.
Yeah.
Well, some songs go with chicken.
I feel like your favorite songs
go with steak.
The phone is ringing in the background, people. We're not going to stop for it because we love you, but you may hear a ringing. It's not tinnitus. It's the phone. But no, I feel like your favorite song to eat a steak by is not going to be the same as your favorite song to have fondue.
Fondue.
I don't feel like those would be the same.
Wow, does anyone do fondue anymore?
I've tried. Well, and actually, downtown here they do fondue.
Wow.
Except not really. What they have is an Asian dish called shabu shabu, wherein using hot broth normally, you take pieces of meat and you cook it yourself and you eat it.
Mm.
It's a thing. It's a Japanese thing.
Mm.
They don't call it shabu shabu. They call it Asian fondue.
Asian fondue. Great.
Only went there once. I've been thinking we need to go back there, actually. Not for the Asian fondue, which was ass, but the rest of, they have other food too that looks kind of nice. And we haven't been back since it was relatively newly opened. So I've been thinking we
need to. I need something to remind me of the good things about our country, because things like that just make me think, why is America like that? Well, America has a lot of good things about it. You know, I like living here and everything. It's just, it seems like lately all I've been hearing about are the bad things. Oh, well.
Look, listeners, now you made William sad.
No.
Make him feel better. Go to the blog and tell him nice things. Tell him how pretty he looks.
No.
His hair has a lovely wave to it today.
Stop it.
It's very nice. And he's wearing his university hat. I don't mean where he went to university. I mean the one that he owns. He owns a small university out back. Just a couple of acres. Has no human students that I know of.
No, nobody attends.
It's a university, though. You can get a graduate degree there. Excuse me. And it's about time to wrap it up, which is good, because I need to take more pills.
Oh.
They got me on Vicodin and cyclobenzaprine at the same time. It's crazy.
That is crazy.
I wanted to find my damn cane. I bought a cane as a prop for when I used to do LARP that's like a regular cane. I was going to use that. I thought it would be helpful. And also between that and taking Vicodin and having not shaved in several days, I'd basically be house.
Okay.
I thought that would be fun. but I couldn't find it.
You'd be House.
Yes. Also, I do a fake American accent. This is something put on. When off the air, I'm British. You people don't know this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty convincing.
Weirdly, on video, Spanish.
Oh.
From Spain. Mm. Yeah. Don't know how that happened.
Me neither.
But audio, I'm American, and in real life, I'm British.
I didn't happen to notice that.
Yes. Kinesthetically, I'm Ukrainian, but that doesn't come up a lot.
No, probably not.
No. So anyway, you're going to thank the people? I never want to thank the people.
Blood Sparrow and Azure Talon, thanks so much
thank
for
you guys.
Your submissions.
Oh, I just said I don't thank the people, and I did. So I'm a liar and a hypocrite. Well, la-dee-da. what are we going to call this episode?
I don't know.
I'm craving for FC.
Brokeback Podcast. Boy, that'll get people talking.
That's a good title. Not for this episode. There will be one. I'm sure there probably has been one. Yeah. But that is a good title. We'll use that someday. Anyway, you should write and tell us what we should call this episode.
It'll be too late by then.
It will have a title, but yeah. It will amuse me. So do it. All right. Yeah. That's it, people. And we will hopefully neither of us break ourselves or get buried in snow or anything so that we can come back next week. Okay? Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Take some drugs.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.